Thank you very much, Bob. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Thank you.
Always
good to hear
great
from you.
To see you in person.
Yes.
When we can. And this is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, coming up after the break. We are on for an hour. We got a tight show today. So we're going to get right to it with our question of the day. Won't have much time to answer. I don't know. This might be one that rolls over to next week. Here's your question of the day. Call in 312-981-7200 if you know the answer. By age 23, 30.2%. So about 30% of Americans have what? 312-981-7200 to take a wild guess in the dark, or maybe you know the answer. We'll see if we get that answer coming up after the break. Also, we're going to be talking to employment attorney George Frederick from MKFM Law. We're going to be talking about sexual harassment in the workplace. A lot of cases making news about that. Boy, that's been the case for a while, but especially the last couple of weeks. And then property tax attorney Fred Augustin is going to be in to chat all things with your appeals, and he's going to answer your questions too. So the number 312-981-7200, 30.2% of Americans have this by the age of 23. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, as you just heard. And we'll get to the question of the day in just a moment. And Leslie and Henry, they're already on the phone line, the text line lighting up. We'll answer that question hopefully in the next few moments. But a quick sidebar, I just want to say that I just got back from the suburbs where it was nice and sunny. Downtown here, we're trying to get some sun. But I was at the Tivoli Theater for just a wonderful morning. I'm part of the Mincing Rascals crew, and we were out there with John Williams and other folks from the Mincing Rascals. And, of course, Thomas Jefferson was there, too. And it was just so nice to see all of you. I think the show is out now, so if you're driving home from the Mincing Rascals Thomas Jefferson show, the Unmasked show at the Tivoli Theater, thank you so much for coming. It was so nice to gather with WGN radio listeners and have a really fun experience. I don't know, I was just tickled to be on the stage, not only because I grew up in Downers Grove and I used to go to the Tivoli Theater every Friday night to watch movies. So it was kind of cool being on the stage. My parents were there. Enrique was there. It was really cool. But so was a sold out crowd, which was really great to see. So if you happen to go to that, great. If not, if you missed out, hopefully we have news for another one coming up soon. That is not a tease, by the way. I have no actual information on another show coming up, but hopefully John and the crew will schedule it. It was a rousing success. Okay, so here's what we're doing here today. We are short. We are going till 2 right up to Northwestern pregame. So we're going to talk with George Frederick in just a bit. He's an employment attorney from MKFM Law. We're going to talk sexual harassment, not only in the workplace, but about different variances of that, including not Andrew Cuomo, but the Chris Cuomo story about potential sexual harassment, alleged sexual harassment in his case from many, many years ago. We got to talk about statute of limitations. What if someone isn't your boss or coworker? They happen to just be associated with you. Anyways, we're going to dive into that in a little bit. And then Fred Augustin's coming in, property tax attorney, and he is going to answer all your questions. They fight your property taxes, which is why the website's really easy, fightyourpropertytaxes.com. And with your questions too, a lot of you may have been reassessed this year. You're looking down at a bill or a proposed bill and thinking, this is too much. This is crazy. Well, the folks from fightyourpropertytaxes.com are here to help. But our question of the day today was, by age 23, 30.2% of Americans have this. And for our first question and answer, we go to Leslie in Lake Zurich. Leslie, how are you doing on this Saturday?
I'm good, John. Thank you. How are you?
I am doing very swell. You have any big plans here today?
Just running around with the kids.
Yeah, I hear that. All right, what's your guess, Leslie?
So I'm thinking debt.
What a great guess. And the text line is filling up with people saying debt. And I would believe it's probably way more than that, but that's a good first guess, right? Because whether it's going to college or credit card debt, I got credit card debt because they offered me a free Frisbee and I didn't know how it worked when I was a freshman in college. Got in a little trouble there, but figured it out. That's a great guess, Leslie. That's not our answer, though.
Can I have one more guess?
Sure, why not? Go ahead.
A mortgage.
A mortgage is a great guess, too. That's not the answer, but two good guesses. Hopefully we'll get it. Leslie, have a good rest of your day, okay?
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, no problem. Let's go to Henry on the west side. Henry, what's your guess?
Hey, would it be a tattoo?
Would it be a tattoo? No. That's a great guess, though. I don't know. 30%. Do you think that number sounds right?
No.
No. I think it would be... I don't know. You think it's less or more than 30%? I got to figure out the answer to that. Probably less, right?
I think more.
You think more than 30% have a tattoo? Maybe. I don't, and I have no problem with people that do, but maybe I'm just naive. Of course, we don't see them wherever they may be. So, Henry, great guest. Thanks, and have a great day, okay? That sound means he is going to have a great day. 312-981-7200. We don't have a ton of time for answers, unfortunately. Maybe we'll get some more at the bottom of the hour, maybe towards the end of the show, too. We did have one guess. 217 area code says STDs. Well, I don't know. I don't know where that number falls. That is not the answer. That is also not one that I am going to Google. 773 suggests kids. By 23, 30%? I don't know. That sounds somewhere close. That's also not the answer. 30.2% of Americans have this by the age of 23. Well, we'll try and get some of those answers maybe a little bit later on. Again, it's a packed show and it's a quick one. So let's take a break and then we'll talk with George Frederick from MKFM Law after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. John Hansen here, host of Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Thanks so much for joining us here on this Saturday afternoon. We're on till 2. Let's talk to George Frederick from MKFM Law about sexual harassment and really how to best protect yourself and your job. George, thanks for hopping on with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, boy, I mean, this is something that continues to come up in the news in many different stories. I imagine it will for a long time as we are becoming a lot more aware and people are a lot more aware of their rights and what is or isn't okay in the workplace. But there's a lot of stories out there where, I don't want to say the line is blurred, but there are a lot of compounding issues that make people scratch their head and wonder, is this sexual harassment? Is it not? And I imagine that that's one of the hard things about it is that there, I don't want to say it's hard to define, George, but there's so many mitigating factors and different factors which contribute to a case that a lot of times people may not even know whether it is or isn't. Am I wrong there?
No, that's absolutely true. Most victims of it think that it's something they should put up with. And usually they contact me much later when it's too late. That's why I did want to talk about the Chris Cuomo article.
Yeah, and that's a great jumping off place because in an opinion essay in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, Shelley Ross, who's a veteran TV producer and the former boss of Chris Cuomo at ABC News, accused him of sexual harassment back in 2005. Oh boy, I don't know math really. 16 years ago, that is. What are the statute of limitations here in Illinois?
Yeah, in Illinois, and also under federal law, if you want to bring a claim of sexual harassment against an employer or an employee, you need to file a charge with either the Illinois Department of Human Rights or the EEOC within 300 days of the last act of sexual harassment.
Whoa, that's quick.
Very short limitation, yeah.
I know that's less than a year. And that's from the last act, not when you decided that, oh, wait, that was, in fact, sexual harassment, you getting a lawyer or getting your act together. That's from the last noted documented case of it.
Correct.
How many people come to you? I mean, I don't want to say how many, but what percentage of people come to you and you have to say you would have had a case, but unfortunately it's been too long?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'd say about 10 to 20% contact me when it's happened many years ago. They see articles like the Chris Cuomo one, and they see, oh, 2005, maybe there's something I can do about it. But unfortunately, it's a very short statute of limitation. Now, there is another act called the Illinois Gender Violence Act that provides a lot of relief for victims who have been sexually harassed, and it actually has a seven-year statute of limitation period.
So this was a situation where the accuser was actually the boss of the accused, which I don't know. That seems different than what I've heard, or I guess what I probably have seen on TV, you know, where you think it's the boss. But it obviously happens both ways, and it can happen with people that aren't even in the same necessarily office, but they're in, you know, different departments. I guess what's the case? It doesn't matter who it is as long as it's someone you work with, right?
Well, it can even be a customer or a vendor or anybody that comes into the workplace, because under both state and federal laws, the employer has an obligation to provide a safe environment free of sexual harassment, whether it comes from a coworker, a supervisor, or a customer.
When you say vendor, that really brings up an interesting point, because we have so many people now that after the pandemic are working on their own, they're doing their own thing, and they're contracted out, they're contracted employees, they do jobs for certain employers, and then they're done. If it happens in one of those situations where you aren't a full-time employee, do you still have a case against someone, an individual or a company that you work with if they exhibit that behavior?
Yeah, those are a little more interesting and more difficult cases, but under the Illinois Human Rights Act, an employer is broadly defined. And so even though you might not be employed with the company that you're actually physically working at, you've been placed there by a temp agency, you can still pursue a claim against that employer, even though you're not technically, as you would commonly think, that you're working for them. So you would be covered.
I want to kind of draw some lines here, because a lot of the cases that we read in the news are go beyond sexual harassment, of unfortunately sexual assault. And that happens, of course, in offices. Now, that's a criminal proceeding that, you know, might have some elements that involve HR in the office, but that's something to call the police about. Sexual harassment, well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, is that something you call the police about? Is that something you talk to HR? I guess it kind of depends on exactly what happened, right?
Sure, yeah. Every case is unique, but if you are physically sexually assaulted, certainly I always encourage my clients and potential clients to contact the police about it, because it is a criminal act. But it's that is enforced through the police and the state's attorney, not a private attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of contacting HR, I always encourage my clients who contact me before they've been terminated, and they're kind of in the middle of it, to absolutely contact HR, but the best way to do it and the safest way to protect themselves in the future, should they be terminated, is to do it through email. Email is the absolute best way to report sexual harassment.
To HR, just so you have that document, a trail?
Correct.
And the date because that's stamped on it.
In many of these cases, the sexual harassment happens behind closed doors, and it's kind of a he said, she said thing. And it's very difficult to prove if there's no witnesses. And so what we look for then after that is if there's any form of retaliation, which is a lot easier to prove. Because it's also illegal, both under state and federal laws, to retaliate against someone for reporting sexual harassment.
Did sexual harassment go down considerably during work from home, or have we still seen cases, and can that still happen even if you're not physically in the same building?
Yeah, you know, I thought with everybody working remote, it would slow down, but it really hasn't. It just comes in different forms. It might not be physical, but it's more through... It actually is documented better because it can be on text messages, emails, Zoom, or the like.
Does sexual harassment have to involve me doing, not me, but someone, sorry, bad phrasing, someone, you know, touching, saying something about someone specifically, like a coworker, or can it be jokes about a third party or memes about, I don't know, women, men in general? Like, what is the line?
Well, at its core, it really is basically gender discrimination. It is a form of discrimination. So every case is different. Telling someone once they look nice is never going to amount to sexual harassment. But if it goes beyond that, or if the person, you know, tells you, please don't say that to me again, and you continue to do it, and it's unwanted by that person, then it begins to arise to that level.
What would you say to people who really like their jobs and they are fearful of losing that job or facing some sort of retribution for even bringing it up? Is that when they should be calling you or some lawyer so that they can protect their employment status?
So, yeah, I mean, the first thing I see this every time, is it doesn't go away. It tends to escalate. And if the person puts their foot down and says stop, especially if it's a supervisor, they usually end up losing the job. So ultimately, the safest thing to do is contact a lawyer, happy if they contact my firm, and document it, report it, because hoping that it goes away is not the best way to deal with it.
If it happens out of the office, and not even like at an office party, just at a bar between two people that happen to either go out as coworkers or see each other out, what's the situation there?
That happens a lot, especially if there's travel involved with, you know, people going to conventions and shows. It doesn't matter where it happens. If it's tied to a workplace, if it's a boss and a subordinate employee, or not subordinate, but, you know, an employee of
right.
theirs, it's going to amount to potentially sexual harassment if it's unwanted.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I just warn people out there that think, oh, we're off the clock. We're at a different place. Maybe it's time to make that move, or I'm going to make that joke. Stop yourself. You should be anyways, but, like, don't think that you have some sort of protection in those situations.
You really don't. It doesn't matter where it happens. It's just whether it's unwanted and whether it's offensive to the person receiving it.
Sexual harassment cases have been making the news a lot lately. Do you think, George, that sexual harassment is on the rise, or do you think that women and men are just more aware of what is right, what isn't, what their rights may be? And we might be seeing a lot more cases simply because people feel a little bit more empowered to bring up those cases.
With the things that I've seen with this power of a supervisor over an employee, I don't think it ever goes away. But I think people can bring it more into light and do something about it and not be afraid to do something about it.
So you even think that when we see these presentations in our work office, you know, like a lot of people do, you know, they're good to go through, even if they're a little bit boring. You still think that obviously that we're not seeing this go away?
I don't believe so at all. Yeah. I don't think it has any impact.
Yeah. George Frederick from MKFM Law. How can people reach you if they are experiencing anything that we've talked about here today and they need some help?
Sure. We give free consultations for sexual harassment cases. You can call our office at 630-665-7300, or you can email us or go to our website and contact us that way.
Could you give the phone number out one more time? Sorry.
Sure. 630-665-7300.
And the website is mkfmlaw.com, correct?
You got it.
George, thanks for hopping on with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care.
Yeah, that's George Frederick from MKFM Law. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, coming up on the news in a moment, but we do have time for one guess. For the guess, 312-981-7200, 30.2% of Americans by the age of 23 have what? Let's go to Nancy. Nancy, you're on WGN.
Well, hello.
Hello, Nancy. What's your guess?
My guess is college degree.
Ooh, that's a good guess, right? Because that sounds about the number of people. But that is not the answer. Nancy, I'm sorry. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And if you do get the answer, you're going to get a $50 gift card to the 50-50 Restaurant Group. Congratulations if you get it. 14 fantastic establishments all over Chicago, including Roots Pizza and West Town Bakery. We'll hopefully get a couple answers before the show ends at 2 o'clock. It's 1:30, time for the news on WGN. John Hansen here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Fred Augustin taking your property tax questions in 1 second, 312-981-7200. Really quickly, one more guess. 30.2% of Americans have this by the age of 23. Susan, you're on WGN. What is your guess, Susan?
Hi, I'm guessing a car.
Ooh, that's a good guess. I didn't get my first car till about that age. That is not the right answer, but thanks for the call, Susan.
Rats. You're welcome.
Rats. I appreciate you keeping it clean. Very good. Thank you very much. 312-981-7200. We'll get some guesses maybe at the end of the show. We are only on until 2 o'clock today, so let's rush right into it with property tax attorney Fred Augustin. You can go to fightyourpropertytaxes.com. Fred, good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you again, John.
Busy season for you.
It is a busy season.
We were just talking during the break, and I just want to make sure people understand about assessments in Cook County for your taxes. The whole city is getting assessed right now, or just did, or how does that work?
Currently, right now, we've only gone through a couple townships. Rogers Park has been reassessed, West Chicago, Jefferson, North Chicago, and South Chicago. Mm-hmm. So a majority of the city, we still have Hyde Park, Lake Township, and Lakeview Township to go.
So they'll get assessed, and then they'll send you something in the mail?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so when you get something in the mail, and you look at it, and you get a little sticker shock, you're not out of options, are you?
You're not.
And this happened to me once, because I looked at this, because I had bought the place, I moved in at a certain tax rate, and they sent us all a letter in the Condo Board Association, and they said, here's your new rate, and our jaws dropped. Luckily, we had someone like you to help us out. What do you do to help people?
So, once you get that letter, as you said, sticker shock, that's when I get involved. Mm-hmm. If they call me. And it's a matter of then filing an appeal. Once you get that letter, I mean, you have 30 days to file an appeal with the Cook County Assessor's Office.
That's quick. Don't sit around.
No, that is quick. And it comes by fast.
Yes.
But luckily in Cook County, you still have a second opportunity, okay, which is the Cook County Board of Review, which would probably be if, let's just say, you get your assessment letter today.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the Board of Review then will open up in February.
Right.
You know, And so you have a second bite at the apple, so to speak. So, but again, it's 30 days, and 30 days go by fast.
30 days to go to fightyourpropertytaxes.com. I don't want to put you on the spot with this question, but a lot of people come to you. How many people are you usually able to help out? Like, can you give me a percentage? Because, like, I think some people in their mind probably think, oh, he's fighting the county. What, 1% of people get their property taxes redone after you talk to them? What is the percentage? Do you have any guess, any idea? I know you don't want to give false hope to people, but...
Yeah, you know, it's all relative, you know, and really it depends on the property, because each property in Cook County and Chicago is unique.
Mm-hmm.
So that plays a big factor. But, I mean, if you're appealing the first year, it's triennial. More times than not, if you appeal, my viewpoint is you'll probably get some type of reduction.
Okay.
Yeah. And what's nice about it is in Cook County... At least in Cook County, I know of, they won't raise your assessment. So mm-hmm. the worst case is you stay at your reassessed value.
And that's what I was going to ask, because what is there a downside to appealing?
There is no downside.
Why don't people do it then? Because I know a lot of people do. Yeah. But I imagine there's listeners right now in Cook County who have gotten that letter. They groan. They hate their taxes. They throw that paper in a file and they never do anything about that. You must know people that do that.
I do. And, you know, I'll say this, probably for a while, my parents were probably one of those. And I think a lot of it is knowing that it's available for you. And I think that's the important point, is a lot of people don't realize that, hey, you can appeal your assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... I would say there's still a majority of people who don't appeal,
mm-hmm.
Especially if you're talking about the homeowners. I think if you're talking about commercial property owners, strip centers, office buildings down here.
They know to do it.
Yeah, they know to do it.
They have a team that does it.
They do. And so, you know, I think it's just knowing about it mm-hmm. is really the key. And the county, the last few years, and again, I worked at the Cook County Board of Review, you know, they have outreaches. They try to educate people about it, you know, now that, you know, they publicize stuff on Twitter, social media. So they're really trying to get out there, educate the people that, hey, you get your reassessment value, but you could do something about it.
So, and that's where I think it almost in a way, I'm like, why do they do that? They should keep that secret. But the reality is they're applying formulas to broad essence of homes, right? They're not going, when they assess your home, well, tell me if I'm wrong, to each individual place, and they look at your house, they look at everything, and they assess it. That would take forever for them to do. Do they just apply a formula, and then that's why your specific case may do better than what the formula spit out? How does that work?
Basically, in a nutshell, yeah, it is a formula. And really, the way you should assess properties is, you know, let's just say, take a commercial building or a single family home or even a condominium. You look at it, and how do you... You review it based on similar types of properties in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a unique approach that you have to do when you reassess. Now, of course, in Cook County, it's impossible to do that.
Right.
It really is impossible. And so that's why the appeal process is important. And that's why people need to appeal, because then when you appeal, then the county officials are then looking at your property and comparing it to other properties. If it's a commercial building or a strip center, you know, they're going to want to look at the income of it, the rent roll. So they're going to review that. So it's very unique, very specific, and that's why you should appeal.
312-981-7200 if you have questions for property tax appeal attorney Fred Augustin. And you sat on that board reviewing, deciding on tax appeals. Do you feel that makes you even more important? I don't want to say important. That makes you more ready to tackle these cases?
Absolutely.
Than someone else?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because when obviously now I'm representing property owners, I look at it from their viewpoint
mm-hmm.
and how they look at it. Okay, if it's a commercial building with multiple leases, okay, let's look at the rents. Let's look at historical income and expenses. And, you know, there's ways to do it. You know, if single family homes, obviously, then it start looking at the data in the area. Okay, how are similar homes in the area assessed
mm-hmm.
compared to this? So, yeah, I mean, I take that experience at the county and I obviously apply it to my practice, and I think it's beneficial.
312-981-7200. If someone's listening right now and they're saying, well, I don't live in the city, but I do live in Cook County, when do they get reassessed? I mean, I don't want you to go through every single township. Is it done by region? I mean, when should people that aren't in the city expect their reassessment to be coming in the next couple of years?
So in Cook County, the way they do it, it's divided into three groups. Chicago's one group. It's this year. Another group is everywhere. All the municipalities in northern Cook County.
Okay.
So the north, as they call it. That's next year.
Okay.
They're getting reassessed. So the year after that, then it's Southern Cook County. So it's divided into three groups.
If you're someone that you've been paying what you think is higher taxes for way too long, once you sign that check and send it, or it gets taken out of your escrow, I mean, that's not the time to be appealing, right? Like, there's nothing you can do to go back in time and get people more money, is there?
No. Okay. I mean, once you pay it, it's done.
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's why, you know, in Cook County, you pay taxes in arrears. So we're paying the 2021 taxes next year in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So if, let's just say, you get your 2021 tax bill next year and you're like, oh my God, it's high, I need to appeal this. Well, you're out of luck.
It's yeah.
Too late. You should have done it the year before.
312-981-7200. Fred Augustin, who knows everything about this. Can I say everything, Fred?
I don't know.
Should I put you on the spot with some questions? 312-981-7200. If you've got questions, we will take them and answer them after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. The tax wizard, that's what I'm calling you, Fred. Fred Augustin, you can go to fightyourpropertytaxes.com. Okay, so we just had a budget approved by the city council, and some people were saying, oh, good, it wasn't such a big tax hike for residential properties. That won't take effect till the next assessment, correct?
Well, that won't take effect. You won't know that tax hike until your tax bills that you receive next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the assessment that you're getting now is completely different from what's happening with your tax bills. And I guess it just kind of depends where you live individually. So don't celebrate yet is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I would say that. I mean, yeah, you know, the budgets were approved and obviously we know taxes pay for those budgets.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just a matter of going through the assessment process, figuring out which properties, what their assessments will be for 2021. And then they start calculating the taxes and then start backfilling, so to speak.
312-981-7200. You can text your question in or you can call in. Getting a lot on the text line, including one from the 708 wondering, is Fred seeing any areas or types of dwellings that are getting hit harder than others?
Yes. So, you know, again, some of the townships in the city have already been, the reassessments have been released.
Mm-hmm.
Commercial properties have been hit hard. And you read the articles in Cranes, it's true. They have been hit hard. Those are the properties that really have been affected. Single family homes, you know, we just had North Chicago, which encompasses, you know, Lincoln Park and the Gold Coast. And, you know, you did see some of these single family homes in those areas get hit pretty hard as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say condominiums in general have been reassessed about right.
Okay.
You know, from based on what I've seen.
Right.
But it's the commercial properties, the industrial properties, multifamily properties, apartments, bigger apartments, mixed use buildings that have been hit really hard.
Yeah. You're speaking of condos as well. 312 wanted to know, my condo association wants to appeal. Is it better for us to appeal together or is it better for us to appeal individually?
Excellent question, because when I was at the Cook County Board of Review, I was one of the guys in charge of reviewing condo appeals. So to answer your question, you should appeal as an association.
Okay.
You should.
And if you are on that association, can we give them your name?
Of course.
Exactly. Fred Augustin, fightyourpropertytaxes.com. 312-981-7200. Let's get those questions and people on the line. Let's go to, I believe, is it Mill? You're on WGN.
Yes. Hi.
How are you doing?
Fine. My question is, I had done an appeal. I won my appeal. And then when I got my escrow, it was negative over $1,000. And I'm like, well, I won my appeal.
Uh-huh.
It was actually more, you know, than $1,000. And then when I called them, they said, well, we went by what the, you know, the tax office sent us. And then I called the attorney and they're like, well, they have to look at the review board's information because it's public record that you won, you know, the appeal. And my question to you is, how come the mortgage companies don't go to the review board and get the correct information? Why do Illinois have to jump through hoops once they won their appeal to make sure things were followed through?
Interesting. So it's a connect the dots question, and obviously a very individual one. Fred, do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, I don't know. That could be that's a very specific case of something happening.
And it's actually a common question.
Oh, really?
It is. And that's more or less on the bank.
Okay.
It really is. And when I get that question, which I do, again, I get that question a lot for some of the single family homes appeals I do, I always advise the homeowners, you have to get the decision that we sent you from the Board of Review or the assessor's office. You need to forward that to the bank.
You need to send it. You need to be proactive about
it. You have to be proactive. And I don't think a lot of these bankers, again, I can't speak on
their behalf.
But, you know, they're probably not looking at the decisions or going on the Cook County Board of Review's website or Cook County Assessor's website. Again, it is public knowledge to your point,
yeah.
But I don't think they're taking that next step in terms of estimating the taxes. So it really is kind of incumbent on the owner to really kind of be proactive once they get that decision forwarded to your mortgage company.
Mill, I agree with you. That's not fair.
And I didn't get anything from the assessor's office yet.
Hmm.
So by when should I have it?
Can you call the assessor's office? Are you in Cook County or no?
Yes.
Okay.
So did you appeal for it? When you said you filed an appeal, I presume it's for 2021. Is that correct?
Yes.
Could it be the backlog that's happening?
And I got my escrow, and it was minus like $1,800.
Okay.
And I thought, this is ridiculous. We should not have to jump through hoops when we won the appeal.
I agree with you there.
And have to now go and try to do what should have been done automatically.
Right.
Well, so for 2021, the assessor hasn't released any decisions yet.
Okay, so...
So maybe she has talked about she appealed maybe last year's taxes.
Yeah. And escrow problems could be other things, too.
It could be other things.
Maybe they aren't right. Mill, I'm sorry, we have to move on to another question here. We're getting the phone lines lighting up. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, you're on WGN. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, it's actually Brian with a B, but that's okay.
Okay.
So here's my question. Someone as skilled and talented as this attorney, he goes and he probably has a very high success rate. But to me, what that proves is the assessments are ridiculous. I'm actually living in DuPage County, and we get the assessment, and it's not tied to the real world, what a real estate person would tell you to sell your house for, what you actually get for it. So doesn't his success actually prove how terrible the system is? And shouldn't we just go ahead and say, look, you buy your house, record the amount with the county, and then we tax it at a flat rate, adjusted for inflation the way they do with Social Security?
That's Brian's comment. I guess I know what he's saying, that it's annoying. It's kind of like when you do your income taxes and you file it and then the government says, nope, that wasn't right. It's like, well, why don't you just figure it out for me? It is maybe seen as a silly process, but we're talking about hundreds of thousands of millions of people. And I imagine it's just hard to get a specific number right, I guess. I don't know, Fred.
And I guess just that's my response is it's an inexact science. It really is. I mean, they have a time frame. The county officials have a time frame in terms of actually getting your assessments or reassessment values out. So, I mean, it's imperfect, but the way to correct that, I guess, is, I mean, appealing your property taxes is kind of the appeal process. It's part of that process.
Yeah, it is.
It really is, and it exists everywhere.
It might be a burden to you, but I know one person that can make that burden a lot easier. It's Fred Augustin. You go to fightyourpropertytaxes.com. Fred, any other ways that you want people to reach out to you, or is that the best way?
That's probably the best way. And on that website, you know, we have our contact information and so forth. So,
and you'll have answers for how people can get a consultation or what they need, information they need to give to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Call the office. You know, I'll give you the office number 312-332-6500. Ask for me. I'll talk to you about it. Obviously, if you go on the website, my email address will be on that. You can send me an email and then we can just start the communication process then.
Trust me, Fred's a really nice guy, and he's a good talker, too. And we love having you in the studio. Thanks, Fred.
Appreciate it.
Yep, FrightYourPropertyTaxes.com. We'll wrap things up after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And boy, the phone lines keep on lighting up. The text line, too. Fred Augustin really helping people out. FightYourPropertyTaxes.com. He knows what he's talking about. He'll help you out with that process, which is never all that fun. Hey, Northwestern football is coming up in just a moment. You're going to hear the voice of Dave Ennett, who is an incredible human being, I might say. This is Let's Get Legal, all done today, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. We're at our normal time next week, 3 to 5 p.m.